This world that we live in is so divided. Politics, social issues, conflicts within families, division is present at all levels. In this environment, the message in 1 John 4, 7 through 21 is exceptionally relevant. This passage teaches that loving like Jesus can bridge gaps. It can heal wounds. It tells us that true love comes from God, and it's essential to overcoming division. So listen as I read, or read along with me. In 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yeah, our world is filled with conflict and strife, and we need solutions that go beyond human abilities. John gives us a practical way forward by showing us how to love one another as God loves us. This love isn't passive. It's an active force that drives out fear and builds bridges where there were once barriers. It's a love that we should show in all of our interactions. By embracing this mandate, we can transform not only our own lives, but also the community around us. John begins this section by urging us to love one another. He tells us that love comes from God, and that those who love have been born of God and know him. Love is not something that we define. It's a part of God's nature. The ultimate expression of God's love is seen in Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into the world to show us his love. Through Christ, We are drawn into a relationship with God. This is what we Methodists call prevenient grace. It's there at birth. God is from birth drawing us into a relationship with Him. It's a love that initiates sacrifices and redeems, setting the stage for all human relationships to reflect this sacrificial nature. John writes about the importance of love and its transformative power. He builds upon the foundation of God's love. He says that when we love one another, God lives in us and His love is complete in us. You know, this love can transform us. It's not just a privilege. It's a proof of our faith. It also enables us as believers to grow in sanctification. Confessing Jesus as Lord is a life-altering acceptance that redefines our identity and purpose. John emphasizes that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God is in them and they are in God. Brothers and sisters, do your daily actions show God in you and you in God? John points out that perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Full sanctification ensures perfect love is an attainable goal for every believer. It enables us to love freely. I've said this before, we aren't God. The decisions about punishments are above our pay grade, and they belong fully to God alone. I am not responsible for anyone's decision about sin. The Bible doesn't say go and judge people when they don't go and sin no more. No, the Bible says love others. If I could never sin again, or if I never sinned again, God would still judge me on how I loved others. John insists that our love for God is demonstrated through our love for others. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Loving like Jesus is not just a saying. It's a way to describe the nature of God. The Bible says that God is love. This love is unconditional and given without any expectation of something in return. It is exemplified by the life and the death of Jesus Christ, who showed selfless, sacrificial love. He came to the world to save people from their sins, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. This kind of love is all about selflessness and putting others first. It is active and seeks to heal and restore brokenness. It forgives, restores, and it changes lives. It's not about keeping score or expecting something in return. This kind of love challenges us to rethink how we love others in our daily lives. The capacity of humans to love can be beautiful, but it also has limitations. It's often based on conditions such as personal feelings and expectations. We tend to love those who love us and give to those who give to us. This is different from God's love, which is unconditional and calls for loving the unlovable, giving without expecting anything in return, and serving without conditions. The love we have for others is often affected by emotions that can change based on circumstances or personal benefit. It can also be hurt and withdrawn when betrayed. In contrast, God's love remains steadfast, regardless of circumstances. It forgives endlessly and continues to love even when rejected. 1 John emphasizes the importance of loving in actions and truth, not just in words. And this mirrors the unconditional and unchanging nature of God's love. Recognizing the nature of God's love can change how we live and interact with others. True love is selfless and sacrificial. We as Christians are called to go beyond the natural inclination to. We're called to go beyond being human. We're called to love unconditionally. Not, I love you if you love me. You remember the notes we used to pass years ago in school? I love you. Do you love me? Check. Yes. No. Or maybe. We had to leave ourselves that out. God's love's not like that. God checks yes. And when we deal with other people, when we interact with them, we should check yes. We love them. This kind of love enables us to act justly and love mercy, to serve without expecting anything, and to forgive even when it's hard. When we embrace this kind of love, we follow Jesus' command to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, and do good to those who hate us. It's not natural. It's not natural. But it's God-like. It's Jesus-like. God's love is a beacon of hope and a radical new way to live in a world full of conditional love and broken promises. It calls us to a higher standard of genuine selflessness. Not as we so often do as humans, we make ourselves out to be selfless and we take the accolades for what all we do and what all we have going on. Maybe the only accolade we need to be looking for is from God. When we show God's love, when we become God's love, our lives become a testament to the love we have received from God. This kind of love enriches and transforms our lives. It allows us to become vessels of pure, sacrificial love in a world that so desperately needs it. To show Christ-like love at the individual level, we can take deliberate steps to love each other, even those with whom we disagree. We can practice active listening, where we give our full attention to others and try to understand their perspective without immediately responding or judging. It's about valuing the person behind the opinions and recognizing their inherent worth to given by God. We can respond with kindness and respect even when discussions become heated. We can take a moment to breathe and choose words that soothe rather than inflame tensions. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Forgiveness is also key. It doesn't mean condoning wrong or harmful behavior, but rather choosing to let go of resentment. It's a personal step towards healing and mirrors the forgiveness that we receive through Christ. When God forgives us of a sin, it doesn't mean that sin's okay. It doesn't mean that God begins to approve of that activity. It means He loves us. To promote God's love, we need to create welcoming environments at all levels. And the church should play a crucial role in promoting unity and love by showing love to everyone, regardless of the human parameters of worthiness. We can provide a safe place for people to express their concerns and their experiences and their doubts and their fears and every other thing that we let come between us and other people and us and between us and God. When we harness God's love, we embody its profound healing power. And this approach not only testifies to the gospel, but also actively participates in repairing our broken world. By committing to divine love, to God's love in action, we offer a beacon of hope, and we're a testament to its transformative power. God's love can overcome division. God's love can achieve unity. Loving unconditionally and embracing our mandate to love like Jesus in a world that is divided can be challenging. It can be daunting to love without conditions, especially when faced with biases and historical grievances. Or we're living in a culture that promotes retaliation instead of reconciliation. Challenges can come from within ourselves, stemming from our prejudices and fears. They can also come from those who may not understand or accept our approach to love. I wrote an article this week and published it about why, regardless of what General Conference decides, I will remain United Methodist. There are those that don't understand my stance. There are those that I've always felt loved by, they really don't want to have anything to do with me now. And it's okay. I love them anyway. Loving those who may not love us back or who may even oppose us takes an emotional toll on those who are loving. This kind of selfless affection requires strength and perseverance that can only be sustained by a deeper source, which is God's infinite love. In a world that values self-preservation and individualism, the self-sacrificing nature of loving like Jesus can seem very difficult to practice. But scriptures provide us with encouragement to overcome these obstacles. John assures us that God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This empowers us to love beyond our human capacity. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus reminds us of the greatest commandments, to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. These are foundational principles that promise God's presence and support in our efforts. Romans 8:37 assures us that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is the transformative power of God's love. It not only enables us to conquer our own shortcomings, but also to overcome the divisions that ail our world. God's love stands as a beacon of hope and a revolutionary force in a fractured world. The transformative power of God's love, as revealed through Christ's life and teachings, offers us a blueprint for healing and for unity. It compels us to love not by our own standards, but by the boundless, selfless love that God pours into our hearts. Let's commit to being agents, active agents of God's love. The call is clear: to lay down ourselves and mirror the love of Christ in every interaction, and to bridge divisions with the grace and compassion that only God can provide. That is the call. What is your answer? Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by your profound love. You demonstrate your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and your word, Father, we ask that you instill us in the courage and with the courage and compassion we need to manifest this love in a world marked by hate. Help us to see beyond our differences and to act as true representatives of your unifying love. Guide our hearts and our actions so that we might not only speak of love, but live it out every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.